Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
All right. So, last year, right around this time, I experienced something pretty traumatic in my life, and I'm going to share it today for the sake of sermon fodder. So, my name is Matt. I am the media pastor here at the Ark Church, but then I also do something called Project Playground, where, yep, thank you, one person knows. We take down playgrounds in the U.S. that are due for demolition, we restore them, and then we replant them in underserved communities throughout the developing world. So that's like the playground you see behind you. We just built this in Kenya at a Christian school 2 weeks ago. Yeah, that's cool. Now, in order to get to this playground in Kenya, first we have to take playgrounds down in America. And that's the hard part. So around this time, literally 2 weeks after I preached last time, last year, I was taking down a playground in Sugar Land with my incredible team, Project Playground. And this playground was a pretty normal playground, nothing too crazy. It was surrounded by a fence. It had a concrete curb that went all around it, which was a little bit unique. And then it has this shade cloth structure, which means the poles go super deep in the ground and there's a lot of concrete at the bottom, blah, blah, blah. So it's midday and things are not going as fast as I was hoping. Hold on 1 second. I got to check some NFL stores. Okay. All right, good. Yeah, 27-leg parlay. Okay. Thank you for those claps. So we're taking down this playground, and we have to take the poles down, and we're cowboying this. So I should have rented a telehandler, but I'm cheap, and I didn't. And so we get the poles on the ground, and they're really long, and we have to separate them. And in order to do that, we have to use sledgehammers. So I literally just sit there and just sledge off these poles. I mean, real Neanderthal kind of stuff. Like, we're not sophisticated at Project Playground, okay? This is not a sophisticated operation. So one of these poles comes down. My excavator is moving it into position, and there's this long pole that we had to get off. And the long pole was down. I thought we were done. I put my foot in between one of these poles and the concrete curb. And at that exact moment, the excavator moved that pole with a 200-pound ball of concrete, just shifted it. And what happened was my leg got scissored between the concrete barrier and the pole, like that. And I literally heard my bone snap. And then I cried like a little girl. I mean, we're talking like 6-year-old girl just got hurt crying loudly. I wish I would have brave and like didn't cry. No, I was crying. It was awful. Everybody could hear me screaming over the sound of the excavator and a compressor running at the same time. Okay? My team rushes to me. When they said they found me, they said my foot was 90 degrees perpendicular to the rest of my leg. It was just like that. And they're like, "Do you need a doctor?" I'm like, "Yes, I need a doctor." The whole time, the only thing I could think was, when am I supposed to pass out? Like, you know, like when you see movies and guys get tortured and they just kind of pass out? I was in that much pain and I'm not passing out. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, I thought when I went through this much pain, I'm supposed to pass out. My God, what's happening? I either have a very high pain tolerance or very low pain tolerance. But I was screaming like a little girl. My team acted fast, brings me to the Methodist Hospital, which is 5 minutes away. They take me like an hour to get in for intake. Do you really need to know if I have insurance? Okay. I get there, and I'm like the whole time, like, can you guys just give me morphine? Like, I've seen Saving Private Ryan. Like, those little things. I'm just like, morphine! Like, just give me those little sticks that you pop into my leg. What is going on here? That was in the 40s. Finally, they decide that they can give me morphine. And I'm like laying on the bed in the ER with morphine in my system. I'm like, that wasn't so bad. That wasn't so bad. I was like, whew, good thing that's over. Little did I know, I was in for a very long healing process. You see, I had broken both the bones of my leg. So I had broken my fibula. I think I crushed that. And then I broke off the inside of my ankle bone. It cracked off due to the force of the concrete. And so I had two different breaks. I broke both my bones. And the words of my doctor is, bro, you're hosed. And I was like, are you really a doctor? But he was not wrong. You break both your bones, it's bad news bears. I had to get surgery, and then I spent 10 weeks in bed rest with my foot up 20 hours a day, not leaving the house. I think I spent 3 months in casts, and then I had like another 3 months of physical therapy. It was a very long process, but through that process, God showed me what healing looks like, and that's what I want to share with you today. Because even though I went through a physical break, I also had to deal with a psychological break. When you go from 100 to zero in just a split second, it can be tough mentally to be laying at the house for days on days doing absolutely nothing. And God had to help me through that situation. But I really believe the healing process that's physical can also apply to our healing process emotionally. That same process can apply in multiple different areas. And we live in a fallen, broken world. And if you're walking through this world, you're going to experience breaks in your own life. You're going to experience pain, suffering. Things are going to happen that you didn't expect, that you didn't want. There's going to be divorce sometimes. There's going to be breakups, relationships, cheating, betrayal, loss of job, of a loved one near to you. What do you do when life breaks? How do you heal back better? That's why today I present Matt's 8 irrefutable axioms to healing back better. They are irrefutable. Thank you. Someone got it. All right. It's a joke. I want to talk about a story about Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas were some of the very first missionaries, and they were going all throughout the world, and they were bringing revival. Really, revival was happening. And so in this story, they're literally told by God to go to this town and minister. And that's exactly what they do. And while they're there, there's a slave girl, and she's possessed, and she's a fortune teller. And she's following them around the whole time, and she's saying, these guys are servants of the Most High God, which was right. But to Paul, it was annoying. And after days of this girl following them around, yelling at them, Paul finally just looks at her and says, in the name of Jesus, come out. The enemy leaves. She's no longer controlled by demonic spirit. She gets rescued, saved, healed. But now the slave owners who are making money off of her are angry. And that's where we pick up our story. This is Acts, the 16th chapter. These men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar. These were the people who were the slave owners. By advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them into the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. We saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas, and then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and the others in his house. And at that hour of night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and then immediately he and the household were baptized. This is not a traditional story of healing, but Paul and Silas go through a very difficult, painful, hard, dark time. And how they respond in that can help show us how we can respond when we go through difficult, hard, and painful times in our own lives. That's why I present to you axiom number one. Don't blame Jesus. Not everything bad that happens is God's fault. You know, sometimes when you look at Paul and Silas, what's interesting about them, they were doing exactly what God told them to do. Exactly the way God told them to do it. And yet, they were beaten, they were stripped, they were thrown into prison in a difficult and dark situation. They could have easily said, God, what the heck? We're doing what you told us to do, and bad things happen to us? That's not how they responded. You know, when I went through my break, I was kind of feeling the same way. I'm like, God, I'm literally doing what you told me to do, taking down playgrounds. That was your idea, not mine. I even prayed for extra protection that morning. I promise I did. I'm like, but I'm the one who put my stupid foot in that spot. God didn't do that. And here's the deal. God does not steal, kill, and destroy. Sometimes when bad things happen, we want to explain things away, or tradition will tell us God's in control of everything, and I'm here to refute that this morning. So bear with me real quick. See, God, what happened was man was in control of the earth, and then man sinned, and the enemy, Satan, became in control of this earth, and man has free will. And one day, Jesus will come back, and we'll have heaven here on earth, but until then, this planet is ruled by the enemy, and that's why bad things happen. Take a look at this. This is John 14, 30. This is Jesus speaking. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has no claim in me. He's talking about the devil as the ruler of this world. Take a look at this. This is John 10, 10. This is Jesus speaking again. The thief, Satan, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. If it's stealing, if it's killing, if it's destroying, that's not Jesus. That is the enemy. Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We live in a fallen, broken world. That's why bad things happen. One day, our job as Christians is not to blame heaven when things go bad. Our job is to bring heaven down here on earth. When Jesus tells us to pray the Lord's Prayer, one of the things he says is, pray, Father, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If his perfect will was already happening here on earth, then why would he tell us to pray for it? Because it's not. In heaven, everything's good. On earth, everything's pretty much bad. It was not Jesus that took that man from his family. It was not Jesus who took those girls in the flood in West Texas. That's not him. That's the enemy. And we have to get that in our minds. Because when do you ever see Jesus in the Gospels go to someone and break their leg and be like, that's so you know, I love you. You don't see it. It doesn't happen. Because that's not who Jesus is. And this is why it's important. Because if you see Jesus at the source of your pain, you'll never see him as the source of your healing. He is the healer. He's not the hurter. And sometimes when bad things happen, we want to blame him. But we have to stop. I've done it. And I have to go repent and say, Father, I'm sorry. That's not your fault. That's my fault. Or sometimes we just live in a bad world. Father, I need you to heal me. You need him to heal you. Your healing begins and ends with Jesus. So don't blame him for the bad things that happen. He's not the hurter. He's the healer. He's the helper. All right. Your words will steer. Gosh, I get that wrong first service too. Your words will steer your story. Look, this is James, the third chapter. This is James speaking. He says, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a force is set ablaze by such a small fire. What's it talking about? We've seen Titanic. Big boat, huge, tiny little rudder. That's what steers the ship. It's one of the smallest parts on the boat. Our life is like a big ship, and your words are your rudder. And we think they're insignificant and small, but where your words go is where your life is going to go. And when you're in the middle of the storm, that is not the time to take your hand off the wheel. When the wind is whipping and the waves are cresting and there is an iceberg on the starboard side, that's not when you say, Jesus, take the wheel. It's a great song. I love it. I listen to it all the time. But it's not scriptural. If you say, Jesus, take the wheel, he's going to be like, bro, you take the wheel. Use your words. You're in the storm. I'll help you, but you got to use your words to get out of it. Your words will steer your story. Now, I was not good at this. In fact, I was bad. When this first happened, I felt sorry for myself, and people call me, how you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm in pain, it hurts, and it stinks, I'm missing out on everything going on, I'm just at home, blah, blah, blah. And then one day my dad called me, and he's like, brother, you gotta change your words. Your words aren't right. So I had to change them. And for me, what was the easiest way to do was just to come up with some canned answers when people would ask me how I was doing. So the only thing I could reply with was, the Lord is helping me, and I'm getting stronger every day. I wasn't denying what happened to me. I wasn't also talking about the pain. I was talking about what God was doing in my life. I had to change and make correction. Your words will steer your story. Point number three, I think. Praise in the pain. I love this. Paul and Silas, they're in their darkest, most painful moment. They don't know they're about to have an earthquake that sets them free. For all they know, they could be killed tomorrow. Yet in the middle of that, they're praising the Lord. And they're not just praising the Lord quietly under their breath. They're praising the Lord so loud the other prisoners could hear them. Sometimes people are like, you know, I just love God quietly to myself in my head. And that's good sometimes. But sometimes you need to say things out loud. You need to pray out loud, and you need to praise out loud. Use your words, because they will steer your story. Here's the thing is, praise in the time of pain is the most powerful because that's when it's the most sacrificial. Take a look at this. We read this in Bible 365 this week. You guys should know this, okay? Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips acknowledging his name. My dad wrote a great devotional, Pastor Daddy wrote a great devotional. And in that devotional, he said the sacrifice of praise is a sacrifice of your feelings. It's easy to praise God when things are going well. It's a sacrifice when things are going bad. It's a sacrifice when you don't understand. But let me tell you how powerful a sacrifice is. When there's a sacrifice, that's when the fire from heaven comes down. Paul and Silas praise in their pain, and God works a miracle, and God's power comes in their lives, and people are freed, and the prison doors fling open, the chains come off, and there's light, and people are saved because of praise. Praise in pain is powerful because it opens the door for God to do something powerful in your life. It's a sacrifice, but it's there. Point number four, be thankful in everything. People ask me how in the world I kept my mentals together when this was going on, and I don't know. But one thing I do know is that was my situation right there, like 10 weeks. One thing I do know is I found some things to be thankful for. Here's a list of the things I was thankful for. Number one, I was thankful it was football season. This happened last year, this time. If this would have happened in the springtime, I don't know if I would be here. Okay, I had football on Saturday, I had football on Sunday, I had Monday night football, Thursday night football. Okay, there are worse times to be laid up on the couch with a broken leg. Football season is not one of them, my friends. I was thankful that it was me who got hurt, not a volunteer. We cowboy a lot of things at Project Playground. There's been some close calls. I was grateful. I'd feel so much worse. I was thankful for the media team that I work with. They did an incredible job helping me here, and I was able to continue my job here. They did an amazing job. I don't know their names, but they did an awesome job. I think one of them's name is Connor. Okay. I was thankful I still had a foot. I was talking to my cousin. He's a surgeon, and he looked at my x-rays. He's like, brother, you should be happy you have a foot. People lose their foot over the kind of injuries you had. That changed my perspective. I was like, oh, maybe laying on my back for 10 weeks isn't as bad as not having a foot. I mean, being Blade Runner would have been pretty sick, but still, I was thankful I had a foot. I was thankful that it was not my head. It's a beautiful face. I was thankful that I got hurt doing ministry, not doing something stupid. I do a lot of stupid things. I mean, I intentionally groomed my mustache like this. This is not accidental. I don't make wise decisions, all right? I was grateful that I broke my foot serving Jesus, making a stupid decision, okay? Not jumping off a roof or jumping my bike. There's a lot of stupid things I do. The Lord saved me embarrassment. Here's another thing I was thankful for. I was thankful that I got to spend 10 weeks on a couch and people brought me sandwiches. Like, I'm 42 years old. I got two kids. I pretty much work two jobs. When else can I just lay around the house for 10 weeks and watch football and people bring me sandwiches and not be that mad at me? Not often. I was super grateful for the people who brought us meals and took care of us in our time of need. A lot of people in the church brought us things, bought us things, took care of us, reached out, and it was a huge blessing. I was thankful for that. I was also thankful for my wife. She did an incredible job. She was a nurse. She was a mother. She was running Project Playground, a golf tournament, scheduling trips, tearing down playgrounds, raising our two daughters. I was pretty much incapacitated for the first little bit there, bringing me sandwiches, hiding medicine in peanut butter, making me take baths. She did an incredible job, and the entire time, she didn't complain one bit, and she wasn't mad at me for making a stupid decision, and I really appreciate my beautiful wife, Kelly. In every situation, there's something to be grateful for. Point number five, outside intervention might be needed. Surgery, that's what's in my foot now, if you can see that. It's like wood screws. Outside intervention might be needed. Sometimes you can't heal yourself. Sometimes you don't have what you need. Surgery is the worst. The worst pain I was in the entire time was about 48 hours after surgery when the nerve block wore off. That was brutal. It was like someone was driving hot spears into the back of my leg. Surgery is painful. I'm not a fan of surgery either because I'm just scared of surgery. I don't know why. It's always scared me. On top of that, I haven't always done well in surgery. Like one time I had to have an endoscopy and a colonoscopy at the same time, and they had to put me out because I had been to Bolivia and worms had eaten the stomach lining out. And so I was like 19 and my mom was taking me to the doctor's office. And I was grateful I was out for an endoscopy and a colonoscopy, trust me. But when I woke up, I didn't do great. And they were trying to chase me around the room. And my mom's there. This is my mom. I'm 19. And my mom and the nurses are chasing me around the room trying to get my clothes on. And if I had a bed gown, that would be generous. It was an embarrassing situation. My mom was like, it was so embarrassing. You have no idea. She was like, Matthew, please put your clothes on. I don't remember anything. Sometimes in order to heal, we need outside intervention. We can't do for ourselves what we need. I remember talking to my doctor saying, like, do I have to have surgery? He's like, yeah, or else you'll never walk again pretty much. So it became clear, surgery was what I had to do. But when we go through an emotional break or something breaks in our life and we're in pain, what does outside intervention look like? Let me show you. It looks like counseling. It looks like biblical coaching, marriage mentors, recovery groups, healing school, all the classes we have, financial peace. And sometimes you might think, but Matt, if I go to counseling, if I go to one of these classes, it feels like a failure. Let me tell you what feels like a failure. When you're walking around broken on the inside for years and years and years, you're not able to run the race God's called you to run because you refuse to swallow your pride and go get the help that you need from somebody else. Yeah, it's no fun. Yeah, it takes humility. But yeah, that might be the only thing that God uses to heal you. God loves to use his people to heal his people. What's interesting about Paul and Silas is God doesn't miraculously heal their wounds. In the story we read, it's the jailer that binds up their wounds. Church is not about coming here and listening to amazing preaching. Church is here so that we can help one another run the race God's called us to race, using the gifts and talents God's given you to help your fellow church members do what God's called you to do. That's what church is about. God loves to use his people to help his people. Go get help. Go to that class. Go to that counseling. We have groups out there, Discovery Week right now, a list. Go find a place, plug in, and get the help you need right now because it can make the difference in your healing process. You might need to get uncomfortable. My parents are like, what's up with the photos, Matt? They just watched online. They were like, you need to cut half of them. You might need to get uncomfortable. One of the interesting parts of my recovery was I had to go through physical therapy. And physical therapy is crazy because I had to go through strength training. I had spent like 12 weeks, maybe longer, 14 weeks in a cast. My legs were shriveled. I mean, it looked like I had skipped leg day for the past 5 years. And your muscles atrophy after only 48 hours of unuse. We were made to move. And so part of the process was strength training, and physical therapy was no fun. I was uncomfortable. And they're like, hey, we want you to jump up and down your bad leg. I'm like, my bad leg? That's the hurt one. But they made me do things to my leg that was uncomfortable. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. I want to protect it. I don't want to jump up and down. I want to just keep it safe. And I would walk out of physical therapy feeling worse than when I walked in. But it was what I needed to get the help I needed. This is what strength training looks like for us sometimes. It looks like serving. Just like your muscles were made to move, you were made to serve. And sometimes your healing process is the helping process of others. And it doesn't feel right because you're hurting. It doesn't feel right because you're in pain and you're uncomfortable. You're like, but I'm the one that needs help right now. But sometimes God says to you, but I need you to help somebody else. The best example of this is my sister. If you haven't watched her story on YouTube, stop what you're doing right now. Go out in the cafe and watch it. It's better than this message, tell you that. She had a traumatic experience in her life. Awful, far worse than any broken leg. And God brought her through and healed her. But a big part of that recovery process for her was serving others. She was serving in her pain, but through that, God brought healing. You might have to get uncomfortable. But really, it's your relationship with the Lord that matters the very most. Oh, sorry. Skipped it. Sorry, this is point number 8, and that's misspelled. All right. Your life is... It was late at night when I put these together, folks. Your life is your mission field. Your life is your mission field. You see, other people are watching you. And when you go through a hard time and a difficult experience, and you do it with God, and people see that, that's when you show people the very most of who God is. Paul and Silas, God gives them freedom, but then that freedom is for everybody else in the prison, and someone gets saved. And I think you watch their story, and I think this, I think that jailer watched them come through the jail. He probably treated them roughly. He saw how they experienced it, the pain, the hurt, the anguish, yet the way they handled it spoke something to him. When they're praying and praising in the middle of their pain, he's probably going, who in the world are these guys? And then on top of that, when he's about to kill himself, they stop him. They say, don't harm yourself. That's who God is, because he's speaking. If you go through a hard time, his word to you is, do not harm yourself. That's not God. That's not his voice. His voice is life. They save the jailer's life once and then save him twice when he gets born again. And I think he saw their life and saw them come through prison and said, I want what you have, because it's powerful, it's real, and it's different. Because the earthquake is not what saves them. They later get out of prison from the leaders. The earthquake saves the warden. Your healing process is going to be a healing process for other people, because other people are watching, and God wants to use your story to help other people's story. And that's why it matters that we heal back better, so that we can help those around us get free from the things that are holding them down, from the wounds that are wounding them. Your life is a mission field, not just Africa. But it's your relationship with Jesus that matters the very most. You know, Paul and Silas prayed out loud. You know, I love what my dad said a couple weeks ago about prayer. Prayer is not win or lose. Prayer is a conversation with God. There's a guy in the UK I love, and what he says, prayer is a loving conversation with a living God. A loving conversation with a living God. Prayer is your relationship with him. Jesus wants to talk to you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to be near to you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to heal you. He wants to be there for you. When bad things happen in life, that's not the time to draw away from God. That's the time to draw in to him, to read your Bible, listen to sermons, talk to him about what's going on in your life. He'll talk back to you. I started practicing this recently, and I pretend like Jesus is sitting in the chair next to me when I'm driving. And it looks like I'm crazy because I'm talking to someone who's not there, but it helps me picture Jesus sitting next to me, and I'm talking to him, and he's talking to me. And he'll speak to you through other people, through sermons, through messages, through special praise and worship, through books. He'll speak to you in a whole different ways. He can speak to you through a movie. God will speak to you if you'll talk to him, draw near to him. Paul and Silas had a real relationship with Jesus. We see this miracle happen in their life, and we're like, wow, what a miracle. But really, they had a true relationship with Jesus. Because when Jesus becomes personal in your life, that's when he becomes powerful in your life. And your relationship with Jesus matters more than even the healing. Because in the end, when we get to heaven, he is the reward. And being with Jesus is everything that matters. So when you're in your hard time, when you're in your broken place, run to him. And if you learn anything from this church, learn this, that no matter who you are or where you are or what you've done, that you can have a real relationship with Jesus and you can be closer to him today than you were yesterday. It's your choice. And this is point number 10. Let yourself be healed. My mom, I love my mom. Sometimes my mom, she'll call me on the phone. She's like, Matthew, like that voice exactly. Matthew, maybe you need to ask the Lord if there's some broken places in your life that need to be healed from. I'm like, Mom, no, I'm obviously doing pretty great. I'm doing perfectly fine. But when I swallow my pride, I go before the Lord. I ask him, is there a place that I'm broken? Is there a place I'm hurt that I don't see? He shows me almost every single time. And he shows me a path towards healing. So I think in life, as we go through this life and we get broken and hurt and wounded, sometimes we get so used to the pain. Sometimes we get so used to that broken arm that we're walking around thinking we're doing good, but we're not able to run our race the way God intended. If you ask him, he'll help you. He'll show you where you can be healed because he is the healer. He's not the herder. And God wants his people to run a race, not to walk a race, not to crawl a race, but to run the race set before them and to run it to win. And sometimes we got to receive healing to run the race God's called us to. So my challenge, if you're sitting this morning, you say, nah, I'm fine, I'm great, dude, I'm good. Ask the Lord, Lord, is there something broken or hurting in me that I haven't addressed that I can't see? He knows you better than you know yourself. He'll reveal it to you, and then he'll show you how to heal from it, and he'll help you get there, and you can come back better than you were before. Because here's a wild thing. When I was talking to my doctor, he told me this, because I was like worried that I was going to have to watch my foot for the rest of my life. He's like, nope. He's like, in fact, after you break your foot, if it heals back the correct way, your bones will be stronger than they were before. I was like, what? He's like, it'll be much harder to break your leg in the exact same way again. This was shocking to me, that you can heal back better and stronger than you were before, that you can go through a broken time, a broken place, and God can heal you in a way that you're better than you were before you were broken. That's God's power working in your life, that when you think you're in the worst situation possible, that he can bring about a healing, that you're better than you were before you even got there. I love this. This is a cup my mom gave me, and it's called Kitsune. And it's a Japanese practice of taking broken cups and repairing them using gold. And they'll take a broken cup and they'll put it back together and they'll use gold to weld it. And to me, that cup is one of my favorite art pieces I have. You can tell it's made from different types of cups, but to me, it's more beautiful than it was before. With gold inlaid, it's unique, it's different, it's broken, but it's useful and it's more beautiful than it even was before. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. That even when you go through a break or a hurt or pain or tragedy, that you can come out more beautiful and more unique than you ever were before, so that he can use you as a vessel to love, his people so that you can heal back better, to run your race and run it to win. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for every single person here. Father, we pray that as broken things have happened to us, that you can show us a path towards healing and you can help us get to the place you've called us to be. If there's anyone here this morning and you say, Matt, I don't know Jesus, but I want to know him today, I want to give you that opportunity. If you're sitting here and you say, I don't know Jesus, but I want to say yes to him, or I want to rededicate my life, if that's you, I want you to show me by raising your hand. If you're sitting here this morning and say, I want to know Jesus, my Lord and Savior, because your healing begins and ends with him. All right, I see those hands. We're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray all together as one big ark church family. I want you to repeat after me. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe you rededicate your life, we have a screen here that will show you QR code. There's some things you can grab underneath your seat. Let us know. We want to pray with you and pray for you. Thank you all for your patience. We love you. We're praying for you, and we hope you have a fantastic week coming up.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearkchurch.com. Have a great week.